Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Hazrat Adam alayhi salam to the earth and he descended to the earth, then he was not sent empty-handed. Rather, Allah ta'ala sent a great gift alongside with Hazrat Adam alayhi salam. And it was a gift from paradise. And it's apparent that when a gift is given by Allah, the Creator, how valuable and precious this gift must be. And it was such a gift that Bani Adam, the offspring, the children of Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, from the beginning of time until the day of judgment, until Qiyamah, they embraced that gift. And they understood its greatness and status and power. And praise be to Allah, alhamdulillah. This was a great gift for humankind, for mankind. Hazrat Adam alayhi salam was sent from paradise to this earth that we are sitting on. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala announced amongst all of the angels that I will create my Khalifa, my deputy. Yes, we see this and read this in the Quran, that I will send my Khalifa, my deputy, to the earth. Allah Ta'ala announced this in the heavens to the angels. Fine. He was created. Hazrat Adam alayhi salam was created. Allah Ta'ala created the creation. Allah Ta'ala created the angels. Allah Ta'ala created shaitan. Allah Ta'ala created the nafs. Allah Ta'ala created Hazrat Adam alayhi salam. After creating Adam alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the angels, prostrate to Adam alayhi salam. And the angels, they are obedient servants. They will succumb to every demand. And they did say to Allah, why are you creating Allah this being that we do your ibadah, we worship you, we do your tasbihat. This person may reject. Allah says, I know what you do not know, O angels. So Hazrat Adam alayhi salam was created and the order for prostration was given to the angels. All the angels prostrated, not one of them refuted, but shaitan rejected. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after sending him to the earth, after creating him, and everyone prostrated to him, and everybody followed the order, Allah ta'ala said, fine, Adam, go to paradise and enjoy life there. Spend time there, wander around with your wife, eat from where you want, live with ease and comfort and luxuries. But a point arises here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala announced this, that I have created Adam as my Khalifa and I will send him to the earth as my Khalifa. And here Adam alayhi salam is wandering in paradise. So where's the Khilafat? Where's the deputization? So there's two opposite things here. That Allah Ta'ala said, I will create you and I will send you to the earth as my Khalifa, my deputy, as an example. And the angels prostrated. But then Adam alayhi salam wasn't sent to the earth, was he? For which he was created. Why is he now wandering in paradise? Allah said, go to paradise, wander, luxury, spend time with your wife. Ah, remember one thing, Allah Ta'ala said. وَلَا تَقْرِبُوا فَاهِشَا. Do not go near to this tree. This is one order I'm giving to you. If you go near to this tree and take from this tree, then you will go into loss. You will pick up the loss and it will be a severe loss. So, Hazrat Adam alayhi salam is in Jannah, in paradise. And here, on this section of the account, a question arises that why did Allah Ta'ala not send Adam alayhi salam to the earth? Why did he send him to paradise? So the elders in Islam, the pious predecessors who have commented on this, and a beautiful commentary they have made, they have said that the angels were living in paradise. Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, his objective was to be sent to the world, to this earth. So why was he kept in paradise? Why was he initially sent to paradise? The reason for this was that Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, he didn't have the capacity yet to stay on the earth. He didn't have the qualities, the attributes, the methodology, the technique, the way, the knowledge to live on the earth. So first Allah Ta'ala Allah Ta'ala had to give him the learnings and the teachings and the capacity before he could come to the earth. And that's why Allah Ta'ala didn't send him to the earth first. Why? Just like Allah Ta'ala has told him to refrain from going to the tree. Then the test started, the trial started. Shaitan came, whispered into the ear of Adam alayhi salam. Influenced Hazrat Adam alayhi salam. Then Hazrat Adam alayhi salam made a mistake. Like we say, he made a mistake. This was the story, the account that was to happen with all of his offspring and the earth until the day of judgment. So the trial started there. Allah Ta'ala gave the hukam to his servants, don't do this action. And Shaitan tells us, do this action. Beware, don't do this, Allah says. Shaitan says, no, your business cannot run unless you take this haram. You cannot progress in business unless you do haram. Don't go near to this place. Shaitan says, go to this tree. You have to succeed in life. Go to this tree. So this whole story that happened in paradise where Hazrat Adam alayhi salam has now come to this earth. What happened there is now happening here and is happening with us. And will continue to happen. Allah Ta'ala's orders come to us. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, Allah gives orders. And what does Shaitan say on the other side? Cannot be. If you follow these orders of the Quran, you'll be finished. You will not progress. You will not be able to succeed in the world. Your success is here. Don't go to these orders of Allah. Loss is in these orders of the Quran, and benefit is in what I'm telling you, Shaitan says. Isn't this the case? So the man then deviates, comes off the track. When Adam alayhi salam influenced Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, when Shaitan influenced Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, then he attained the capacity and the method of how to pass the time. What to do when you make a mistake. So when he had that capacity and strength, then Allah Ta'ala said, now you go on to the earth. Now you go and stay on the earth, because now paradise is for those people. That person cannot stay in paradise who makes a mistake. This is only for the angels. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Hazrat Adam alayhi salam. Yes, he made a mistake. You can say on the face of it. He made a mistake. But Allah Ta'ala did not send Hazrat Adam alayhi salam empty-handed to the earth. Rather, he gave him an azim, great and powerful gift before he came to the earth. Due to which, the offspring, the sons of Adam alayhi salam, they will take benefit until the day of judgment with this gift. And those people will be the biggest losers who don't understand this gift that Allah gave to Adam alayhi salam, who don't use this gift that was given to Hazrat Adam alayhi salam. Hazrat Adam alayhi salam came with that same gift to this earth, subhanallah. And what is that gift? It was the gift of the heavens, the hadiyah of Allah. Rabbana zalamna anfusana wa illam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna min al-khasirin. That gift that Allah Ta'ala, after the mistake Allah Ta'ala gave to Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, that your children, they will do the same thing, they will make mistakes, and I'm giving you a gift to utilize which will be in use for your ummah. Astaghfar, seeking repentance. Astaghfar, saying to Allah, Allah forgive me. This is a gift from heaven that Allah Ta'ala gave to Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, and for us believers it's a very, very powerful gift. Powerful gift. Astaghfar, my brothers, my friends, is such a great action. Allahu Akbar. That all the du'as that you can do in your life, this is the spirit behind all your du'as, the ruh behind all your du'as. All of the du'as, take the jamia du'a. This is the collection of all du'as. Astaghfirullah. Allah says, ask from me for my forgiveness. This is my mercy. In one word, astaghfar is such an action. It is such a recitation that only does it not just finish and eliminate the sins. Rather, astaghfar, it elevates the ranks, the status of a believer. It elevates and accepts your worship. Your obedience is elevated and heightened. You get near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your nafs, your desires and shaitan, it protects you from nafs and shaitan, and it is a great weapon against the nafs and the shaitan. Astaghfar, this is astaghfar. Astaghfar is such a solid and great powerful weapon. In Sahih al-Bukhari, in a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this hadith is narrated by Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar radiyallahu anhu. He said, we were in a gathering, and the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was there. The Sahaba Ikram, the Blessed Companions, were there. And the commentators have written on this hadith, many people will have read this hadith about the gathering of the Prophet ﷺ. The gathering of the Sahaba around the Prophet ﷺ, what was it like? What was that environment? The Prophet ﷺ would be sitting, the Sahaba ikram would be surrounding him, and it would be pin drop silence. No one's whispering, no one's talking, someone's mumbling in the back, and another brother's arguing in the back, and someone's giggling and laughing, and there's side discussions going on. No. Rasulullah ﷺ sitting, Sahaba ikram are sitting, pin drop silence. And it was such a gathering from the heavens, the lights and the mercies would be descending on that gathering. The light and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Great condition of the Sahaba at that time. If somebody came, a traveler, and he came and asked the Prophet ﷺ, the Rasulullah ﷺ would give the answer and then there would be total silence. Sometimes it would happen that Rasulullah ﷺ would say something, a statement, then silence again. And this would continue. The gathering would continue like this, total silence. And they would be immersed in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala remembers. I'm telling you, this is how the gathering was of the Sahaba. And many years like this I spent in the company of my Shaykh, Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayhi. His gathering regularly was just like this, like the Sahaba with the Rasulullah. 5-6 hours my Shaykh would sit, dhikr, and totally the gathering was like this. My Shaykh would be there, silent, people would come and go, sit, people would sit in dhikr, meditation, maraqabah. Maybe after an hour, a traveler would come, ask Hazrat, my Shaykh something, my Shaykh would reply, then he would go, and silence again. And many times it happened with me, that if after 2 weeks I was staying there, then very difficult was it for me to experience and see that I had a discussion, a long discussion with someone. Maybe when I went there, I said, Assalamu alaikum. And leaving, I said, Shaykh, can you do dua for me? That's it. No talking, fussing, wasting time, chit-chat, backbiting. No. The nur and the light and the mercy that used to descend from that. When I used to leave my Shaykh's gathering, it was as if my heart was full of light, of iman. And this is sunnah. I'm telling you about a fakir, a sheikh in this day and age. So let's think 1400 years ago, the Sahaba Ikram, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam sitting, the great nur and feeling and emotion and power of iman. I'm telling you, when I'm sitting here, then when I see this gathering in front of me today, I'm feeling the taste that I had from my sheikh's gathering. Allahu Akbar. And all my life this has benefited me, and I say things regularly on a weekly basis. We get together, there's discussion, or someone asks a masala, etc. You see this in gatherings. But in the gathering of my Shaykh, my teacher, for hours it would happen. Sometimes the whole day I used to stay there in the gathering in the midst of my Shaykh, my teacher. And very difficult was it for someone to come and ask questions, futile discussions, for example. And the whole gathering is full. Many people are there. Some are coming, some are going. But silence. And whoever had to leave would leave. There was no waste of time discussion. Beneficial, everything. So Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu said there was a gathering. We were all silent. Rasulullah s.a.w. was there. The companions were there. He said, what did I see? He said that 100 times the Prophet Muhammad s.a.w. said, Astaghfirullah. Astaghfirullah. It was a complete recitation. There were some extra words to this. And 100 times he recited this. Important words, huh? The Prophet of all, the greatest Prophet of is reciting this. So it must be important action. Must be a weighty action. Must be beneficial action. So when a person commits sins and he does astaghfirullah, doesn't matter how many sins you do. When a person has been sent to the earth, then obviously we've been sent to the earth with certain strengths and qualities and attributes. But Allah Ta'ala has created this attribute and quality in the sons of Adam as-salam. Before this we were in the heavens with the angels, our ruh. Allah Ta'ala created this capacity and quality that we are the offspring of Adam as-salam. And we have the ability that we will probably commit sins. So Allah Ta'ala created an opposite end to the sins. Allah said, don't worry, even if you sin, do a wrong deed, do something bad, doesn't matter, do astaghfirullah. Allah says, I will forgive you. I will forgive you. How great a tool Allah is given. We make mistakes, we commit sins. In Sahih Muslim, there's a hadith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He, when a person does dua, Allah spreads His mercy and says, oh my creation, come to me, do astaghfirullah, ask for forgiveness, I will forgive all of your sins. All of your sins. All of the sins a man has done, the son of Adam. All the sins we have committed, say in the night, Allah says, do istighfar and I will forgive you. In the day if you've sinned, Allah's rahmah spreads along the creation of the earth. Allah says, you committed sins in the night, do istighfarullah to me in the day, I will forgive all your sins of the night. Tell me, if we didn't have istighfar, then which situation would be in today? What would be our status? Our sins would be like mountains so high. Would there be any chance of us being forgiven and saved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Tell me. And further, what a unique and azim, great fact that you sin and you do istighfar. You sin and you do istighfar. A person who's a worshipper, who's muttaqi, who fears Allah, who is very cautious in his actions. He's a wali of Allah, high in status, close to Allah. And even then he has to do istighfar. Even then he is essential, has to do istighfar to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even the pious person, Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was the night time after worshipping all night long. Who am I talking about? The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All night long he was worshipping. When the morning came, he would do astaghfar. Hazrat Aisha Sadiqa radiyallahu anha. This is a hadith in Bukhari Sharif. Rather, she said, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is this that all night long you have worshipped? Allah said that after you've worshipped and you've done astaghfar right at the time of the morning, you go into tawbah and astaghfar. But you haven't done anything bad. You haven't committed no sins. So why are you doing astaghfar? What is the reason you are repenting? Why is it that you're doing astaghfar? You've done such good deeds, pious deeds. You're the Prophet of Allah. And you prayed salah. You haven't committed sins in the night. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, is there any human being who can fulfill the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through his worship? I will say that even after the full night of ibadah, Allah have not fulfilled the right of your worship. The greatest personality who ever descended on this earth, the head of the prophets, said he could not fulfill Allah Ta'ala's rights with his worship. Then how can I say I have fulfilled Allah Ta'ala's rights with my worship? So Allah Ta'ala's mercy, he's given us the istighfar, the insan, human being, when he worships Allah, does ibadah, prays salah, prays namaz, does any ibadah, and after that he says astaghfirullah. Doesn't matter how bad was his ibadah, Allah will inshallah accept his ibadah. Allah will accept his ibadah. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this was his habit, that after praying salah, three times, astaghfirullah, 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 three times after praying fard salah. What was the reason? That after praying salah, what do we do this for? Three times astaghfirullah. That Allah, I did pray, but I couldn't fulfill the rights of your salah. I don't know how did I fulfill your salah. And it's apparent your salah will be very good, but my salah is not like this. So many mistakes, so many deficiencies. Allah, I'm prostrating to you. I'm asking from you. I'm pleading to you. Such a great ibadah you've given to me. And I leave the house of Allah, and I don't know if I've left salah. Even when I say, Salaamu Alaikum Warahmatullahi, Salaamu Alaikum Warahmatullahi, I don't know that if I prayed salah. So Allah, I pray to you. Astaghfirullah, look at the barakah. When you say astaghfirullah three times after praying, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts this ibadah. Allah accepts this worship. Otherwise, who can dare that he worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and fulfills the haqq of Allah ta'ala's ibadah? Tell me. And not just this with salah. Rather, whenever you do any worship that you do, Allah ta'ala gives us the will and the ability to worship. After worshipping, any act of worship, we should do astaghfirullah. After this, reason being that Allah inshallah will accept our worship. And this means Allah has accepted. Allah says, you have accepted me, O my servant, that I could not worship to you according to your status and greatness and power and rank. Allah, I couldn't worship according to the right of your worship. Allah, I tried my best with my body, with my efforts, with my energy. But even despite all of that, I desire Allah that you accept my deeds. But how can I ask you from my lips, Allah? So I will say, Allah said, okay, I will tell you the solution. You say astaghfirullah and I will accept your ibadah. So my brothers, my colleagues, this is a great gift Allah Ta'ala has given to us of astaghfirullah. And the other nations, in comparison to the nation of the Muslims, they have a very low rank and status. Our situation, we may sin all day long. We may sin all day long. Other ummahs, they had a different situation. But this ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even if you sin so much and after sinning, you say, Allah forgive me. Allah says, I will forgive you. I will forgive you, O nation of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So brothers, this is such an ibadah. This is worship. This is a wazifa. This is a lesson. that for your sins, to elevate your worship, to elevate your rank, to elevate your iman, to save yourself from the fire, to get close to Allah, to get marifat of Allah, whichever situation you're in your iman, and you recite this wazifa astaghfirullah, you will get progression and promotion. But we have got such a great gift, but we utilize this very seldomly. I think after salam, very few brothers will say astaghfirullah. Am I right, brothers? Pay attention. It's a very valuable gift. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated that recite abundantly astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Myself, I say 100 times in the day, astaghfirullah, said the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How important this is for you, for me, the example of Nabi, of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For him sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it was so essential. 100 times a day he recited astaghfirullah. This is a great gift Allah Ta'ala has given to the Ummah of the Prophet, of the Muslims. At least we should make a habit. Awwal, firstly, we've got so many sins, so we should have so much astaghfirullah from our lips. And the reality, the elders in Islam, their habit was that their tongue always was saying astaghfirullah, 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 astaghfirullah. All day long, make your tongue move. Unless you're talking to somebody, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. And every second Allah will say, I forgive you, I forgive you, I forgive you. So is there anything greater than this? Make this your habit in life. Make this in habit in life. Every second. So what do we realize today? Doesn't matter how much ibadah I've done in the day, how much I've worshipped and I think I'm in the skies and the heavens. Don't leave astaghfirullah from the lips. In every condition say astaghfirullah. Every second say astaghfirullah. And if this becomes your habit in your life, supreme habit, after salah, after doing dua, after reading Quran, after doing every action, every moment, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Two things will suddenly come into your life. First thing is that wrong feeling, that misconception will come out of your heart, that I am a pious person and I do ibadah. This misconception and deviation will come out of your life and your mind. Shaitan whispers in your ear, oh, you're a pious person, you've done so much ibadah, you've prayed salah, you fasted Ramadan. Oh, you know, I fasted beautifully in Ramadan, I enjoyed myself and I went to Hajj and my Hajj is accepted. No, Allah says, do astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. May Allah accept my ibadah. I am nothing, Allah, I am useless. So astaghfirullah, when you recite this from your tongue regularly, the message comes to you. Doesn't matter what ibadah you're doing, you will get the taste and enjoyment. Who doesn't get taste and enjoyment? This is the fazl of Allah. But never should you think you are great and pious, that I've done these deeds and I'm saved and I'm complete and I'm successful. Always think, even if you are the best of people, that Allah, I am nothing, Allah, because you are the supreme king of kings and I have not fulfilled your right. I can't even do one dua without your permission, Allah. The dua, the spirit and ruh of duas is astaghfirullah. Take all the duas of mankind and put them together, and the spirit of them will be astaghfirullah. If you don't do astaghfirullah, then there's no life in your duas. So if you do astaghfirullah, the life behind your duas is astaghfirullah. Every ibadah, worship, the cleanliness, the purification is astaghfirullah. If Allah makes you in a kutab, an abdal, a wali of Allah, a pious person, then what is the thing behind all of this? On every rank and status, you have to say astaghfirullah in abundance, in high quantity, and your rank will increase and you'll get closer to Allah. Allah says, when you do astaghfirullah, you're doing tawbah, you're saying, Allah, I repent to you, Allah, I was not worthy of this. So this is such a great action from the sinner, from the lowly believer to the highest and highest ranked believer. It's essential for every one of us to do astaghfirullah. And we are the worst of people. We should keep on asking Allah for forgiveness. Make this your habit. At least minimum. Like in this hadith of Sahih Muslim Sharif, that Allah Ta'ala spreads His mercy two times. Once in the night, once in the day. Definitely morning and evening, we should 100 times in the day. Just like Rasulullah said, I say astaghfirullah 100 times a day. So this is a sunnah also. We have to fulfill it. At least morning and evening, recite astaghfirullah. Rabbi ikfirli warhamni. Rabbi ikfirli. Astaghfirullah illadhi. La ilaha illallah. Ya hayyu ya qayyum. Whatever kalima you like of astaghfirullah, recite it 100 times minimum in the day. Minimum. 100 in the morning, 100 in the evening. Make this your habit in your life. And think this, Allah, when I'm reciting this, your mercy is spread in front of me. And Allah, you know about my sins. Nobody else knows. And Allah, take my sins away from me. And Allah will forgive us, inshallah. So brothers, the summary of what I'm trying to say is, my friends, we need to do action. We need to do action for the hereafter. This night tonight, the night of Jummah. This is the night of Tawbah, astaghfirullah, repentance, praise be to Allah. And this is a gathering of dhikr, the night of dhikr.
All the du'as we're going to recite now, we're asking Allah for forgiveness. Every du'a we're going to recite now in the dhikr is tawbah and istighfar. All the du'as we're going to ask now, we're asking Allah for forgiveness. We're asking Allah to take away our sins and eliminate them. Anyway, so what I'm trying to say, my friends, brothers, this du'a, astaghfirullah, is a great du'a. Make this a habit in your life. Make it abundantly a habit in your life. And especially in the special days, the special nights, special moments, whenever you start doing an action, in ibadah, say astaghfirullah first. 11 times, 7 times, 3 times. Whenever you do any ibadah, before that and after that, 3, 5, 7, 9 times, say astaghfirullah. Then do the good deed. Inshallah, you will see the benefits of this in your life. May Allah Ta'ala give me the tawfiq and you the tawfiq, the will and the ability to practice on this. Ameen. Recite the Durood Sharif.